Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Thanksgiving edition of Orlando Magic Live. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. My name is Philip Rossmanreich. I'm the editor at Orlando Magic Daily. I am joined, as always, by my compatriot, fellow pilgrim, Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post. Zach, how are you doing today?
Well, I didn't have any pie, so I'm doing very good.
Well, hold on. You had some controversy today on Twitter regarding pie. I didn't have any pie either, but that wasn't my fault. We didn't have pie. But you caused a stir on Twitter with, you know, a proverbial pie in your face with a tweet, Sir Oliver, claiming that you don't like pie. What don't you like about pie? It's got to be put on the table, you know, dressed up, filled with stuffing right now. What don't you like about pie?
Everything.
Everything.
The crust is bad. The fillings are usually not that great. It's just not good.
But like, I mean, I'm not the biggest pie person either, but I like pie. You have a good key lime pie. It's, you know, nice. It's like mixing the best parts of like ice cream, pudding, and cake all in one dessert. How can you hate that?
I guess I hate things that people love.
You do. That part we know to be true, but you got to. But where's your Thanksgiving spirit, man? Where's your Thanksgiving spirit? Next thing you're going to tell me is you had steak instead of turkey.
Well.
Wait. Did we both not have turkey today?
No, I made a delicious turkey and enjoyed it with my pillowy mashed potatoes that I made. So
excellent. Excellent. Well,
but enough about the food.
Yes.
We don't want to put people to sleep more than we already do.
Yes, I'm sure everyone watching this live, all one of you, two of you now, are completely in a food coma. You want to hear some Orlando Magic talk, and we got a lot to talk about this week. It was a little bit of a crazy week for the Magic since we last spoke last Thursday. The Magic had a game Monday against the Cavs. They played against the Kings Saturday. Looked really, really, really shaky in both. And then, boom, lineup change for Wednesday night's game against the New York Knicks. What did you think of the move to bench Victor Oladipo? It seemed like, for a lot of people, it seemed like it came out of nowhere because, you know, Victor Oladipo is supposed to be the guy.
Yeah. First off, thanks to the NBA for that 5 o'clock start time on Saturday. That was actually pretty nice, not getting home at midnight. And I imagine that you enjoyed getting to bed before 4:09 a.m.
Yeah, I think that game, I think that day I got to bed at around 1. It was very, very nice. It was nice to leave the arena before like 11 p.m.
Yeah, it was nice to leave knowing that we could actually still go do something
if we had lives, we would have done something.
But alas.
Alas.
You know, we talked about this. I thought that moving Victor to the bench was something they could do. I mean, everything was on the table. I thought that the only two that were really safe were Evan Fournier and Tobias Harris. You know, I said on our good friend Danny Thompson's radio show on Wednesday night that I thought that they should bench Elfrid Payton and Nikola Vucevic because I didn't think either one of them had been playing very well. I thought that they just needed to get some energy out there, get Dwayne Dedman out there, get Channing Frye out there, open things up. And, you know, we saw they play with Dwayne Dedman. You know, Skiles went ahead and went with Oladipo coming off the bench. It makes sense. I mean, they need a stabilizing factor on the bench. And I know that I kind of wrote about that last night. I imagine that you wrote something.
I wrote multiple things.
Very close to that as well. I haven't caught up on my Magic reading for the day because I've been
that's completely excusable.
In the kitchen all day. But, you know, I think that the Oladipo move makes sense now. And, you know, Scott Skiles said it before last night's game. This legitimately could change tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go win 15 straight. If they do, then Scott Skiles needs to be crowned coach of the year right then. And Channing Frye deserves to win most valuable player.
Yes. Yeah, it's. I mean, there are two ways Skiles could have gone with this lineup change, and the fact that Monday after they lost to the Cavs, and losing to the Cavs, I don't think was quite a big deal. It was just kind of that the Cavs just kind of lazed through the game and still beat them by 20. They just kind of did, like, LeBron was just kind of half dribbling. Like, I don't want to say he was not trying, but he was kind of dribbling half, you know, through half pace and just picking apart the Magic defense. There was no energy, there was no, you know, aggressiveness that Skiles wants to see from the team. And so for him to come out after the game, you know, Monday night and say publicly, I mean, this is something that I don't think's happened with the Magic since Stan Van Gundy left, to say publicly, we need to change the lineup. You know, everything's on the table. You know, I don't know what's going to change, but something needs to change. Like, that should have raised everyone's antennas up a little bit. And then to actually change the lineup by taking Oladipo out of the starting lineup, you know, even saying, you know, up to game time saying, Oladipo's done everything we've asked him to do. He's, you know, we want to be a defensive team and he's our best defender, but hey, you're going to come off the bench now. Like, to me, that sent such a huge message to the team as a whole. And there were really two ways that Skiles could have done this lineup change. He could have done something like he did that had a little bit maybe more permanence to it because it kept balance with the starters and the bench and would help them win games. Or he could have done something punitive, which is, I think, maybe a little bit more what you're looking at, because I tend to agree Elford and Vucevic have been two of the more inconsistent players on the team as far as their effort and intensity. I mean, they still produce, it seems, but that, you know, that might have worked last year or the year before, but it doesn't work this year when the team's trying to win games. And so, you know, Skiles didn't go the punitive route, but it kind of felt like he got that message across in a lot of ways. How do you think those lineups worked on Wednesday? And obviously just a one-game sample size, but how do you think it worked?
I mean, it worked really. I think the big thing that really helped was the fact that, and Victor alluded to this after the game, he looked a lot more like himself. I mean, he was attacking, he was changing things up. He was hitting that little pull-up elbow jumper that you turned to me and mentioned that's money whenever he goes left off the screen.
He only does that. He never attacks the left side of the basket. He only pulls up at the elbow.
Well, because he still can't finish with his left hand. But
I mean, so far this year, he can't finish with either hand. So, you know, you take what you can get. But last night was definitely different for Oladipo.
Yeah, and I think the thing that was really big was the fact that him, along with Tobias Harris, were able to get the Knicks in foul trouble.
Yeah.
And the Magic shot 32 free throws last night, which were one more than their season high in regulation. But 15 of those came from Oladipo and then another 8 from Harris.
They did something last night that I don't think they've done all year, which is something that's been done to them almost every game.
They won the free throw battle.
Not only did they win the free throw battle, they made more free throws than their opponent attempted, which, you know, they were, what, 27 of 32 from the foul line? So the fact that they made that many and, you know, still beat the Knicks on that, because, you know, they're still a team that fouls a little bit too much sometimes. That's improvement, Al. You got to see them do something like that again.
Yeah, and I think another fact that makes that really impressive is the Knicks were in the bonus in the fourth quarter with, like, 9:03 to go, and it didn't seem like they went to the free throw line that much.
No, I think I turned to you at that point in the game and said, you know, weren't the Knicks in the penalty like 8:14 or 8:40 something? Like, they were in there for a long time, and, you know, and they just didn't take advantage.
They didn't get to the line. I mean, they were jacking up a bunch of long contested shots, and, you know, to their credit, some of them were going in. I mean, Carmelo was Carmelo last night. I mean,
yes, he was.
You let him get his, and then Jose Calderon quietly just torched the Magic. I mean, I think he finished with 23 or 25, and he only shot, you know, maybe 12 times.
Yeah. No, I mean, he hit a lot of threes, you know, kept the Knicks somewhat alive in that game. you know, generally, even with Carmelo playing as well as he did, I thought the Magic did a pretty good job on him in general. Like, obviously, he's Carmelo Anthony. He still shot pretty efficiently. He got to the line, did a lot of good things. But I thought Tobias Harris especially did a really good job on him early. He looked really dialed in, set a tone defensively that really made them better. You know, when it comes to the lineup, I think the jury is still out. I think Oladipo certainly, you know, he played with a fire last night. I don't know if the lineup change specifically is what's going to work in the long term, but he certainly came out wanting to prove something, wanting to, he said he played with a chip on his shoulder. It wasn't exactly clear what made that chip, but he came out ready to play, came out aggressive. He got to the line, something he hasn't done all year. I think you pointed it out. He attempted 24 free throws entering the game, had 15 in Wednesday's game. He just hasn't played that aggressively and that effectively all year, and so to see that confidence return was really good. Now, does this starting lineup work again Friday against Milwaukee? That's the part I'm, you know, I was looking into whether a lineup change was going to be made and exactly what it was going to be. I was big into this lineup because of all the lineups that had played, just the data that we had, this lineup had proven to be relatively effective against Utah and Washington when Victor Oladipo was out with the concussion. This lineup was the Magic's most effective lineup, and they played a relatively significant amount of time, about 33 minutes. Wednesday, I thought they were a little shaky. They just kind of kept the boat steady, and Oladipo and the Knicks' terrible bench really helped the team push ahead and stay ahead. They did a lot of things to keep the lead and maintain the lead, but they didn't necessarily get the team off to the best start in either half. And so I'm curious, you know, did the lineup change solve the problem necessarily for this Magic team?
I don't think so, but again, it's one game, and the Knicks did a lot of things that, you know, I thought were good against that lineup. You know, I think one thing that both of us had readers and commenters and what have you,
our lovely audience.
Yes, our fantastic audience out there say to us throughout the day was that they felt that Aaron Gordon should be starting. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, look, Channing Frye and Nick Vucevic didn't work defensively last year. It's not going to work this year. You know, I thought that they were fine on that end. And, you know, on Aaron, you and I both agree, he's not ready. And Channing can bring to this team is more beneficial than what Aaron can right now, because their defense is going to be fine. You know, I think that we're getting to the point where their defense can be fine. You know, there's going to be nights when they're playing a really good team where they get beat. You know, that happened on Monday night, but it's hard to guard that Cavs team.
And I think one of the reasons we all saw that the Magic needed to make some type of lineup change, and this is where I'm really interested with what's going to happen Friday night against the Bucks. One of the reasons I think we all saw that the Magic needed to make some type of lineup change, or at least in that game make a lineup change, Evan Fournier guarding LeBron James was just a disaster. It just did not work. And having Nikola Vucevic or Channing Frye or Tobias, even at some points Tobias Harris, chase around Kevin Love didn't quite work either. And that's where I think using a player like Aaron Gordon, like kind of matchup, you know, dependent, would have been really, really key. Just sliding, like, honestly, I know a lot of people that I talked to were like, why is Victor Oladipo coming off the bench? He's supposed to be our best player. He's the number two pick of that draft. Why is he coming off the bench? And it wasn't punitive of Victor at all. It was really because Evan Fournier has played so well. He's got the coaching staff's trust. They had to slide him to the two to get more favorable matchups. And someone had I don't think I ended up using this word, but my original headline for the article that I wrote, you know, arguing why Victor Oladipo was the one that had to go to the bench, was Victor Oladipo is just being, has to be sacrificed to make this lineup work. And, you know, we've talked on this show for the last 2-3 weeks now about consistency, about can the coaching staff rely on getting the same thing from players game by game. And right now, I agree with you completely that Fournier and Harris are really the only two starters, at least, that Skiles knows what he's going to get from every game and can, you know, if even if they're having a bad game, maybe throw them in and trust them to still make the right plays. Now, obviously, I think Oladipo, you know, because he was having such a good game, surpassed Fournier late in the game on Wednesday night. But generally, I think Skiles trusts Fournier to defend well, to make smart shots, to make smart plays. Every other player, it's kind of on a game-by-game basis. The reason why that Fry gets that nod over Gordon is simply because Skiles knows for all the good and all the bad that Fry does what he's going to get. And that reliability is valuable in a starting lineup, especially as you're trying to start a game and kind of game plan a game. Now, as the game goes on, you can certainly make some adjustments, make some changes, as Skiles has done plenty of times already this season. And that's why Fry starts ahead of Gordon. Now, I'll be really interested if, you know, Skiles has said he wants to kind of keep the same lineup to try and get that consistency and not kind of go away from it. But I'd be kind of interested with, you know, with Giannis Antetokounmpo possibly playing the four, if, you know, Skiles sticks with Fry or maybe, you know, tries to insert Aaron Gordon in for the start because of the matchup that they're facing.
Yeah, I think that's something that we probably see tomorrow night, because the Bucks are most likely going to be starting Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Jabari Parker together.
Yeah.
There's just no one there that
you can't hide Fry can.
I mean, if anything, Jabari Parker, but I mean, Jabari's shown some explosiveness this year, and you know, that's what's kind of gotten Channing killed the last couple of years. So, you know, I'd imagine that we could see Aaron. I mean, he could even decide to go back to the smaller lineup and go with Victor starting again, if that's something that he really believes could work. But I think that, again, it goes back to the consistency thing. They need to get consistency, and you're not going to get that if you're continually changing lineups and continually searching. I know you asked him this before last night's game. You know, he goes into a game and he has an idea of what he wants to do with his rotations, but sometimes that gets thrown out the door within a couple of minutes. Yeah. I mean, like last night, if he was coaching the Knicks, that would have been thrown right out the window because Carmelo picked up two fouls, I believe, in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I agree with that. You don't, you know, like maybe you start Fry just to kind of set that rotation. You know, maybe you bring a guy like Gordon off the bench, you know, kind of not necessarily stagger those minutes, but kind of change, like keep the rotation the way that you want it. Because obviously he's been favoring Nicholson, and you have Hezonja as a three if you're playing Gordon at the three. And that was actually kind of the next topic I wanted to get into is what this all means for Mario Hezonja, because I know he's a player that a lot of people ask about. But, you know, matchups are going to matter. And I think what, you know, you want to do with a starting lineup is if there's a matchup, you know, advantage, disadvantage there, you want to see which side wins the tug of war. And so if, you know, Fry is ending up having to guard Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo's got to guard Fry. And so maybe that takes away some of Antetokounmpo's effectiveness. Maybe, you know, Fry can hit a couple threes and get Milwaukee to change their game. It's all part of that cat and mouse that is being a coach. You know, so I expect the Magic to run the same starting lineup tomorrow night or Friday night against Milwaukee, and to run it for a little while longer. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Milwaukee gets out to a relatively quick start, or the Magic are having to kind of keep pace, and it's clear what the problem is. You know, honestly, this is what he didn't do in Cleveland against Cleveland. He's got to pull the plug on it quick and say, you know, we've got to, you know, get this defense locked in, because honestly, I think what won them the game Wednesday night was their defense. It was probably the most complete defensive performance they've had all year, as far as just relying on their defense to win them the game.
I mean, maybe that Toronto game.
Yeah, maybe the Toronto game.
When Vooch was out and they started Dwayne Dedman. But, yeah, I think that their defense really won them the game. But something that, and Skiles touched on this last night, with Victor moving to the bench, it kind of it moves Mark out of the rotation play. Mm-hmm. I mean, Andrew Nicholson's earned his minutes. Shabazz Napier's earned his minutes. I think that Aaron Gordon's earned his minutes because he's still doing
A lot of good things. It's not enough to get him in the starting lineup. It's not enough to say he's consistently giving the Magic what they need and put him ahead of Fry all the time. Now, I generally agree, Gordon should, based on talent, be playing ahead of Fry, but he's not delivering at the same rate almost.
Right. And then with Victor, I mean, Victor's going to play because he's been the team's best defender. And we saw last night what he can do offensively. What does this mean for Hezonja? You know, maybe this is only a short-term thing, but maybe it's a longer-term thing. What does this mean? And is there something that you think that they should do with him to maybe see if they can get him some minutes somehow?
Yeah, I think Hezonja is going to have to stay a little patient. I think for now his minutes are going to be a little sporadic. I think it's going to be matchup dependent. There's certainly, you know, it's going to depend on whether you have to play Aaron at the three or the four. And obviously right now Nicholson's getting minutes, so Aaron's coming in at the three. And that eats into Hezonja's minutes because Oladipo's at the two, and then, you know, it goes down the line. So Hezonja is the odd man out here. And, you know, with all that, even though he has all that talent, the Magic are about winning. They've said it time and time again this year. We are about winning basketball games. Skiles has said, you know, I'm just trying to win basketball games. That's why my rotations are kind of screwy. I'm just trying to win basketball games. I don't care about I don't want to hurt anyone's ego, but, you know, if you're not, I'm putting the guys out there that give me the best chance to win that individual game. It's not about winning a game tomorrow or winning a game next year. It's about winning today's game. And that's different, you know, as maybe Magic fans, that's different than the way we've been taught to think for the last 3 years, or for the last 2 years at least. 3 years, whatever it is. It all seems like one gigantic blob of a year. You know, Hezonja has got to get minutes, and I've brought this up kind of privately, and I guess I'll float it out publicly, and it doesn't feel like a great solution, but, you know, maybe there has to be some talk of sending Mario to the D League for a few games. Just let him get his confidence back up, get his shots back up, you know, actually, you know, operate with the defensive principles that the Magic have, because the Magic and the Bayhawks run the same plays and run the same defensive system, or they're supposed to at least. Have him kind of get some real work there on the court, especially if he goes a long time without playing. You know, I don't know exactly when you do it, because you want him to be part of the team. And if the team is practicing, he'll get more out of practicing against NBA players than against D League players. But if there's a point of time where you're not getting a lot of practice time and a lot of rep time for him, you know, getting him in a situation where he can dominate a little bit, regain some confidence on the floor. Because, you know, while the guy is really confident, I think he's frustrated with his own play. I think he needs to see something positive. I mean, you read the comments from some of the articles. John Denton of OrlandoMagic.com wrote an article out of the Kings game about Hezonja and somewhat his relationship with Peja Stojakovic, but really the thing I took from it is, you know, Hezonja is really hard on himself, and he knows that he's making mistakes, and honestly, like, the thing that I think is really mature about him is he knows he doesn't deserve playing time right now, that he's got to work on some things. And so if there's a point of time in the season where the coaching staff can't get that practice time for him for whatever reason, it might be beneficial for him to go down to the D League, play a few games, you know, score a whole bunch of points, put some shots in within kind of the offense, so that it's not just like him just, you know, throwing buckets up, but doing some of those things to actually get game work, so that when he comes back to the NBA team, to the Magic, that he can, you know, he's a little more confident implementing it. Because, you know, I don't know how you feel when I watch Hezonja play, I still see a guy who's a little hesitant and a little unsure about where he's at. And that's honestly, when I see that, I was just like, he's just not ready to play right now.
Yeah, I see a lot of the same things. You know, he'll catch it and he'll be open and he'll hesitate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shot that I imagine if he was still playing over in Spain, he catches that. He shoots that before the ball even touches his hands.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a, you want the man, you know, people want to see him let it fly, and I think that's where he's going to be effective this year as a rookie. I don't think he has the strength to really play a whole lot of NBA minutes yet. He just doesn't have an NBA body yet. At the same time, you know, I say all this about the D League. It's also a huge risk if he doesn't understand what the D League is or sees it as a demotion, it could wreck him for good. It's a huge risk. So I don't know if the D League is necessarily the right move. I think it would have to be clear what the expectations are for him while he's down there. It would have to be clear what they want him to accomplish. It would have to be clear that it's not a demotion. They want to get him in games and get him experience and kind of understand and kind of get going on some things that they can't give him right now at the NBA level. It is a bit of a risk because we just don't, like, the D League is still so new. I don't think players quite understand exactly what it is. Like, sending a player to the D League, some of them see it as an opportunity to get better. Some of them see it as a demotion that, you know, they don't think I'm good enough to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a crazy idea. I fully admit that it is an outside the box idea. I don't think the Magic should do that right now, especially since they're home. I think they should have him go on the West Coast trip, just to experience a West Coast trip and be with the team for that. So he's, you know, he seems like he's very close with a lot of players. So I don't think him being around players is that big of an issue. But if we get into like January and, you know, maybe around the All-Star break and he's not playing a lot, you know, maybe you think about it and say, you know, let's just get him game time right now. Especially if the Magic are in the thick of a playoff race and they can't afford to give him minutes and allow him to make mistakes.
Yeah. It's tough what you do with him because, you know, we see him, he goes out there and I don't want to say he looks like he's lacking confidence because we know he's not, but he doesn't look confident a lot of the time. I mean, he doesn't want to shoot the ball. You know, somebody was saying that his percentages aren't that bad. I mean, they're okay. I think he's shooting about 37% from three and 36 from the, or 36 from the field or something like that. I mean,
yeah, that sounds about right.
It's okay for a rookie, but for a guy who was expected to come in and what some people thought he was just going to light it up from day one, he's not. And, you know, he's still adjusting. That's the big thing here. And, we, you know, we both get it. You know, people think that he just needs to be out there playing and making the mistakes, and that's how he learns. But, and I've said this to you, and I've said this on Twitter multiple times, I don't think you just throw a guy out there and say, go. You know, if he makes a mistake, he needs to come out because – we've seen what doing that can do because that's what the coaching staff did the last couple of years. And we still see some of the guys revert back to those bad tendencies and it's hurting the team. So you don't want to do that to a guy like Hezonja who, to be completely honest, probably has the potential to be that guy that you desperately need still. And another one of the media members was talking about this last night, you know, the Magic are coming up to a point when they're going to have to decide who they want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's with Evan Fournier's contract due up this summer and them not getting that extension done. That honestly, a lot of the questions are asking about who Magic players need to keep, and I think we'll end up getting into this, you know, later in the season as well. As this isn't a storyline that's going away. It's very much a part of the season, but these were the questions that needed to be answered last season. Yeah. And that's why last season was such a failure. And I do mean that the 2014-2015 season was a failure. And you know, people who follow me on Twitter know that I'm not someone that gives into hyperbole very often. I try personally to keep an even keel and kind of, you know, kind of tread water and all that stuff. But there's no other way to describe last season than as a failure in almost every respect. And it's because we don't know exactly what some of these who some of these players are and whether they fit the big puzzle. And you know, they got Nikola Vucevic on a good deal. I think you know the Tobias Harris deal. I think they got a decent deal on Tobias Harris, to be perfectly honest. You know, maybe they overpaid a little bit, but I think that's fine. That's normal.
Again, like maybe they overpaid, but it doesn't look as bad with the salary cap ballooning to $750 million in 2 years.
Yes, and so you know that. You can't pay all these guys. Like the Magic, like honestly, the Magic I think did make a decision somewhat on Tobias Harris. They went after Paul Millsap to essentially replace him. I think if the Magic get Paul Millsap, and again, how real was Paul Millsap? Who knows? I think if they would have gotten him, they would have let Tobias walk because they would have had that position kind of filled. But you know, with Fournier's contract coming up, with Oladipo, you know, on the horizon, you know, thinking he might need a max slot as well. You know, they have to make decisions on guys. And they moved on Mo, they moved on Kyle, but there's going to be a big player that's going to be left out of this equation. And that's because Mario's waiting in the wings. That's because, you know, they got to choose. I think they got to essentially choose between, I mean, this is, again, something that we can discuss later on in the year, but they've got to essentially choose between Vic and Fournier. And Fournier made that, I think they made their decision, or they thought they made their decision, and then Fournier's play has somewhat changed that a little bit. And obviously, if you talked last year, there would have been no chance that they bench Oladipo in favor of Fournier. But Fournier has given them the best chance to win. He's thriving in the system, and they have to keep him in. They have to maximize his potential because he's the one delivering for them when Oladipo has been, you know, somewhat inefficient. And so,
I think that some of Evan is a little bit of what Mario could potentially end up going through in his first few years. I mean, Evan was a pretty important fixture on his French team that he played for before he came over. And then his first year wasn't great, and his second year wasn't great. I mean, he saw inconsistent playing time with the Nuggets, and then he got the opportunity in Orlando. And I think he really kind of showed us what he could do for stretches last season. But then the hip injury derailed him, and now he's just come out guns a-blazing, and he's showing that, you know, maybe he's the guy that you end up keeping over Victor Oladipo. But again, it's way too early to be talking about that.
It's like the consistency thing we've been talking about every week. It's something to keep in the back of your mind. It's a long-term thing that's going to that we're going to be monitoring throughout the season. You know, when we get to the off season, this will be the question that comes to the forefront. But you know, if you're someone watching these games, trying to think of it a little bit more analytically, a little bit more kind of what direction are the Magic are going? Definitely keep this in the back of your mind. This isn't something that's going to go away. This is you know, the Magic are moving from the phase of building up assets and rebuilding to winning basketball games and trying to compete for, you know, the playoffs and then eventually a championship. And so, you know, you make wrong decisions as you're making this transition, and you know, you get stuck somewhere you don't want to be. You know, I mean, you hope you're stuck on, you know, maybe the playoff end rather than the rebuilding end. But you know, with some of the, you know, honestly, the Magic had to make that coaching change because they were getting stuck, you know, on the rebuilding end. And so now they're starting to creep back up, and they've got big decisions coming up to kind of maintain the trajectory that they're going on.
Yeah, and again, we'll be talking about that a lot more as the season wears on. And I imagine around the trade deadline, we'll end up having to do more than one podcast because there's going to be so much going on. And maybe this is the year that the Magic try to cash in on one of those assets.
It certainly could be, especially if they feel like they need that extra piece to make the playoffs, and if that's, you know, a real goal of theirs for this season to make the playoffs. Zach, we're at about 30 minutes here. Do you have anything else you want to add on this wonderful Turkey Day, other than a frowny face for our beloved UCF Knights?
Well, these next two games are huge for the Magic. I said this on Tuesday night on Full Court Press Radio that, you know, including last night against the Knicks, the next three games truly could end up defining the Magic season.
Yeah, Skiles.
I know it's define how a season goes, but you know, the Magic need to win these games because even though their upcoming West Coast road trip is kind of spaced out, going out west is still tough, and they're going to be playing some really good teams out there. And you've said it, I've said it. That's when we're really going to learn about this team. But at the same time, we're going to learn a heck of a lot this weekend.
Looking at this stretch of the schedule, with starting with Wednesday's game against the Knicks, playing the Knicks, the Bucks, and the Celtics. Someone asked Skiles about this on Wednesday. While the team itself isn't looking at particular stretches of games and saying we have to get X amount of wins in the next week or so to bank up, at the same time, they also recognize, you know, they're taking things game by game. They're focusing on the game at hand because they're not good enough to say we need to win two of the next three to set ourselves up for the road trip. But they recognize that these three games, the Wednesday win against the Knicks, Friday against the Bucks, and Sunday against the Celtics, those are three teams that they're going to be fighting with for that last playoff spot. And they, like Skiles said, you know, we know that those are games that we have to, you know, try and win, you know, as much as any other, at least, because that determines tiebreakers. That determines, you know, a whole bunch of other things. And Skiles should know more than anyone in Magic history. There's been very few times in Magic history where a tiebreaker has really played in effect. There's one notably in 99 when the Magic tied with the Heat and the Pacers for the top seed in the East. They lost the tiebreakers to both the Heat and the Pacers. So the Heat won the division, ended up as the top seed, lost to the Knicks, who eventually went to the finals. The Magic ended up the three seed because of the way the divisions were played out, lost to Allen Iverson and the Sixers in the first round. But the other time was in 1993, when the Magic were 41-41, tied with the Pacers, got left out of the playoffs, and of course had that one lucky ping pong ball that got them Penny Hardaway. Or got them Chris Webber, who turned into Penny Hardaway. But, you know, you think about it, like those games, like it worked out well for the Magic that time, but those games matter. You know, getting in or out of the playoffs can depend on one game like this. I think you and I talked about it after that Indiana game up in Indiana earlier this year. The Magic losing a fourth quarter lead in that game and kind of laying an egg in the fourth quarter, it wasn't ideal because it obviously wasn't ideal because they lost, and it wasn't ideal because they showed a lot of the same problems that they were having. They weren't showing improvement, but it was also a big deal because they gave up a golden opportunity to take a game from a direct opponent fighting for that playoff spot. And so, you know, the next two games, I agree, are really important, not only because it's building confidence and building wins before heading out west, and also getting used to a new rotation and a new starting lineup and all that. It's also big to build that resume or build, you know, that tiebreaker that you need, you know, should you need it later on in the year in March and April, if this team is going to compete for a playoff spot. So, you know, we'll see if they matter. Those matter in the end, but I agree. I think these next two games are vitally important, and, you know, winning two of the three, if they split the next two games, I think it would generally be a pretty successful homestand there. Zach, thank you for, you know, about 30 minutes of your time here on Thanksgiving. Thanks to all the viewers for your time and everyone listening on the podcast. I hope you had a very, 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 very happy Thanksgiving. I hope your stomachs are full. I hope you're in food comas. You leave us on, we'll just, you know, hit the repeat button. That way it just plays over and over again. You know, I like seeing those play views. Zach, you have anything else to add before we close out?
I'm glad that I didn't need to pull the pin out tonight.
You know, I'm glad too, because then I would have had pie in my face. I take that silence to mean that Zach has decided to throw a pen at his computer screen, and it fractured the camera. So for Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post, my name is Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. Thanks for joining us again on another edition of Orlando Magic Live. We will catch you next week.